In this afternoon worship service with the singing of hymn number 488. Uprising from the darksome tomb, see the victorious Jesus come. The almighty prisoner quits the prison, and angels tell the Lord is risen. Hymn 488. This afternoon, out of God's most holy word, you can find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 to 12, and Romans, chapter 6. Luke 24, verse 1 to 12. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day shall rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Turning to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As for the reading of God's most holy word, he had his blessing and give us a spirit of true prayer. O most merciful and gracious God, thou, Lord, art eternal love and pure love. O Lord, that immeasurable love and incomprehensible. O the depths of that love, the height, the width, the breadth, who can know it? And that thou should send thy dear Son, Lord God, to reconcile the world unto thyself, to take that sin off of them and lay it upon thy dear Holy Son. Oh, that there may be a church called out of this dark world and brought into thy presence to worship thee and to serve thee. And Lord, as we gather this day, oh, to celebrate, to worship thee, Lord God, that there is a resurrection power, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, and that resurrection power life given unto poor sinners, that they might walk the gospel way, that they might be quickened into life, spiritual life, and they might find that eternal life. All those blessings, Heavenly Father, grant even today that our hearts may be opened to receive these precious truths as poor and the needy, as the lost and forlorn and as the dead, that we may truly find that spiritual life given unto us and become a panting, a thirsting, an inquiring people after thy graces and thy goodness and thy blessings. Lord, make us of thy church. Make us of that called people whom thou hast called. Oh, that we might be in thy covenant of eternal love. Thy elected people, oh, favor us this day with the gospel truths in our souls. For Lord, we are sinners, plunged in darkness, and Satan is our father. But oh, that thou should make the difference, and that thou should bring us unto thyself. Be that holy Father, that heavenly Father unto us, and give us the Spirit's cry, Abba, Father, that we may know we are thy children, drawn unto Jesus' feet to worship him, and worship thee, O Father, for thy goodness and for thy graciousness to mankind. O Lord, leave us not, for poor sinners we are, and a poor preacher cannot reach the heart of the people, but thou canst. O touch then the heart, Lord God, touch the hearts of each of the hearers, O to go from row to row, and to soul to soul, and to quicken as such ones into spiritual life, that the resurrection morn may be that blessed day, and the power of our souls, that together we may sing songs of praise, that we may be lifted to heaven, that we may be given the eye of faith, that we may hunger, Lord, after that righteousness of thy kingdom, that we may leave the hateful ways of this world behind, seeking only to know Jesus. And as thy dear apostle said of old, oh, that I might know him, then the power of his resurrection, and made conformable unto the image of his sufferings. Oh, that this, Lord, may be the hunger, and this may be the inquiry of each soul this day, that we may be those strangers and pilgrims upon this earth seeking that better country. And so, Lord, we cry, give us faith. Give us faith to walk the gospel way, an ear to hear, a spiritual eye to see, and that we may be liberated from the burden of the law and the sorrows of sin and the death of the sepulchre, that we might rise in newness of life, be made those new creatures, a new creation, and the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. O Lord, remember our dear friends in this congregation. Do bless them in all their needs and wants. Do remember those in trials and burdens. Do bless them, Lord, with an affliction and anxiety they may seek Jesus. Then they shall thank thee for the trials and the sorrows of this life. O Lord, that thou would guide and from the youngest to the eldest in our midst. Lord, take us away from the pleasures of this world. Satan's snares where he seeks to destroy our souls. Lord, let us set our eyes upon heaven, that rich country, and those rich fruits of faith, those incorruptible things that shall never perish. And oh, that thou would show us that this world is only a temporary place, and our souls are never dying, and so must come before thy judgment seat. Prepare us then, Lord God. Oh, pass us not by. Favor thy servants as they preach thy word, and bless them, and guide them, and lead them, and strengthen them. Oh, Lord, how they feel to need thee, utterly dependent upon thee for thy grace and thy presence. Oh, give then thy spirit here, And throughout this world, as thy servants preach thy blessed gospel, that they may fear, O man, O Lord, that they might savor the fruits, the fatness of the gospel, and that they might point poor sinners to Jesus, and give us more, man, even now, touched in the heart, anointed by thy Spirit, and thrust forth into the world by thy will and power. So, Lord, remember us. Remember our country, our nation, our leaders, those in authority over us. Oh, that thou would yet enlighten, that thou yet in mercy might remember us and spare us from thy just judgments. Lord, guide us unto thy precious word, oh, that which is only true and truly moral. Lord, in mercy remember us. Bless thy precious word. Sanctify it to our souls. Bless those that translate and send it throughout this world, that there might be success in that word, that there might be that turning unto thy precious truths, and the knowing of those doctrines of thy word through the reading of that precious word. And so, Lord, remember us. A poor world, we are sunk in sin and shame. But Lord, thou hast a people thou shalt save. And so we are thankful unto thee, Lord, today again. We may come and gather around thy throne of grace, that we may come plead with thee, O God of mercy and loving kindness, tender and compassionate, long-suffering art thou. Oh, that we might praise thee, O Lord God, that thou hast the salvation of thy people in thy hand. We thank thee thou art almighty and sovereign, and thy will shall be performed, and that thou hast a love that is able to melt the hardest of hearts, and the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to perform this wonder. Oh, we thank thee for him even today as we would speak of the wonders of Jesus Christ, of the salvation that he has wrought in the people he shall comfort and cheer, and thy blessed Spirit to apply these truths. Oh, we would fall down even this day to worship thee and beg, O Lord God, that thou might remember us in mercy. And Lord Jesus, thou great high priest, O wash all that we speak this day in thy precious blood. Be our advocate, be our intercessor in heaven, that all that we may do in worship this day may be made acceptable. Wash in that fountain of living waters, cleansed by thy precious blood, acceptably before the Father, only in and through and what thou hast done. All praise and honor and glory be unto thee now and forevermore. Amen.
Continue with singing from hymn number 486. See from the dungeon of the dead our great deliverer rise, while conquest wreathes his heavenly head and glory glads his eyes. 486.
feeling to need the Lord's help again for this afternoon, we draw your prayerful attention to Luke 24, verse 5. Luke 24, verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? We would seek this afternoon, as the Lord may enable me, in this precious theme of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the source of life, and that He is the source of power to the church, that the spiritual life relies on Jesus Christ and the truth of the cross of Christ applied to the soul, the realities of Jesus Christ crucified, the realities of that dying Savior who loved them, gave Himself for them, who suffered, who died in a sinner's place, that they might have that life given unto them by the authority and the sovereignty of God, by the great precious work of Jesus Christ as their head, the head of the church, and that this resurrection this resurrection truth of Jesus Christ was equally vital as all the aspects, the other aspects and truths of Jesus' salvation. The angels, the Lord God employed angels in speaking to bring this truth again, as the Lord is wont to use His angels in different places of announcing or declaring the truth of the dear Lord Jesus Christ and the purpose of His coming. And we draw your attention again to the birth of Jesus in the hill country of Bethlehem, where the angels announced the coming of Christ and sang the praises unto God, gave glory unto Him there in Bethlehem, as He announced the birth of Jesus Christ and directed the shepherds to the manger there in Bethlehem where the child was born, where the child was lying. That the truths and promises of Jesus, of God concerning His Son Jesus, had truly come to pass in the time of the Messiah's birth and coming to earth had happened. And God employed His ever-blessed angels to minister unto mankind concerning these truths. Again, we find Him using the angels here to open up the sepulcher of Jesus Christ, where the body of the beloved Savior lie, sealed by that stone and watched with animosity and hatred of the Jews, lest His disciples should come and steal Him. And yet we find the profound wonder of God if God wills something, truly we can say, who can prevent it? And equally so in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if God should will, beloved friends, to breathe in your souls and mine that resurrection power and life of the dear Savior, none shall ever prevent it. The angels thus come and roll that stone away, that the women who come there with a desire to worship their dear Savior and anointing His body with spices and ointments, that He had not time to do in the night of His death, that these women would come now very early in the morning, the Lord's Day morning, Sunday morning, come to anoint the body of Jesus. But much to their amazement, much to the contrariety, we'd say, of their understanding of the purpose of Jesus Christ, they find that the sepulchre is obviously empty. It is a comfort, I would say, to us in our spiritual journey when we are brought down in dismay, when we're brought to places of misunderstanding, when we walk in a dark place, and we might see here too that these dear women who so love Jesus, that they would honor Him with these spices on His body. Though they so did not understand the coming of Jesus, the very truth concerning Jesus, yet they might find a comfort and might know something of the resurrection power. And so when we speak this afternoon, dear friends, of this resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we too need that power of this beloved Savior in our souls, in order to activate us, in order to grant us that living faith that comes unto Jesus, that believes in Jesus, and is persuaded of the things concerning Jesus Christ. Truly, without this resurrection power, we live in a state of death.
We live in a state of darkness. We live not understanding. We do not have life within us, nor can we have life within us. And nor do we have power. I'm talking about irresistible power. I'm talking about a power that removes all obstacles. A power that removes all enemies. And a power that enables every single recipient of it to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the first fruits of that resurrection. We need, beloved friends, to taste something of this sweet power. The power of the risen Savior. And here again, we have to understand we cannot find, we will not find the Lord Jesus Christ in that sepulcher. Jesus himself had spoken to his people. The prophets had prophesied of this reality and truth. That Jesus must rise. They asked a sign, his enemies, his mockers, what sign that he would give to them that he was truly the Son of God. What sign givest thou from heaven? Then Jesus spoke unto him, no other sign will I give unto thee except the sign of Jonas, of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. That was a sign. This truth that we may speak of this afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ is a living Savior. We see, like we were speaking on Friday evening, of the sacredness, the wonder, the beauty of the death of Christ. Oh, what a theme that is inexhaustible to the child of God as he feels his filthiness, his sinfulness. Longs for that which alone can cleanse him from all his sins. Relieve him, like we sung just now, of our heavy burden of the awareness of that sin. How they, time after time, need that precious cross of Jesus Christ to subdue their iniquities. Cleanse them over and over. It is through this blessed resurrection power of Jesus Christ that the sentence of death and the curse of death and death in our spirits is removed. We will crave to know something of this power and life in Jesus Christ. There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual truth of Jesus' sufferings and death. Except Jesus rises up and applies that life to us. He breathes that life within us, like Ezekiel 16. If you read Ezekiel 16, we find something of that resurrection power. Faith. That's the reason, it's this evening, or I think it's in hymn 228, we read something, friends, of what it is to have life. It's as much to say it is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for our souls. What he is to us. And why it is that we believe in him. It is because the Lord has breathed that resurrection power in our souls. We have by faith beheld the Son of God as our precious Savior. We have by faith beheld his precious obedience. We have by faith beheld his sacred cross. It is the work of the Savior for us. If you notice that hymn, in hymn 228, we read what faith? Life. It beholds the precious blood of Christ, a delightful theme. Faith owes a scepter through the cross and fails. Faith yields obedience true. Counts all things else but earth and dross to keep the Lamb in view. To live upon his precious death is faith's divine repast. The language of his dying breath, see how she holds it fast. Faith views him dead upon the tree, then buried in the grave, and waits around the tomb to see him rise with power to save. Then to the Mount of Olives goes there faith with eager eye, beholds her Lord leave all below to dwell and reign on high. A true living faith in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ comes through this resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you went to John chapter 11 of Lazarus's the power and the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ, In John 11, we see of a resurrection power, of Lazarus' coming forth out of the grave by the authoritative voice of Jesus Christ. Lazarus, come forth. And he comes forth out of that grave, bound in his grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. And they are the words of him whom we speak of this afternoon. The resurrection power and life in Jesus Christ. For us, beloved friends. For us to walk in his ways. For us to be quickened in our souls. For us to press through every crowd and grab hold of Jesus Christ as our only hope, our only living hope, our only expectation in life comes through that blessed theme which we speak of now. How foolish the poor maidens were, the women were, and yet they loved him dearly. We would not speak lowly in that sense. They loved Jesus dearly. But the angels were saying and declaring to them how wrong it was to find him yet in the sepulchre. How they needed again a reapplication of the word of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ to believe his words. Then they remembered the words that he spake. Jesus will apply the precious word of God with power and authority through his resurrection power and authority. And when we speak of life, we have to speak of death. When we speak of the glorious resurrection power that the word prophesied of it, Psalm 16:10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus would never, ever be left in the earth because the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jehovah, had decreed it. Now, you want to say something? I feel in some sense, I'm not Mr. Know-It-All, I just feel in some sense the AV should maybe change a word there. Thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave. In the state of temporary death. It doesn't mean hell. Jesus has never been to hell and never will be in hell. That's the place of the damned. Jesus went to the place of the grave, the temporary place in which all the dead go. That he might, as we're speaking of today, be that resurrection power of every single quickened living child of God. It means Sheol in Hebrew or Hades in Greek. Very different than Gehenna. Very different. Thou wilt not leave my soul. That was the word of Jesus Christ in Psalm 16. Thou wilt not leave my soul in the earth. But before it is corrupted and putrefied by the natural way of earth and the natural way in which all of our bodies shall taste of death, God would bring his son. God would give that power unto his son to rise again out of that state of death and out of the earth to come forth in that state of life, never ever to die again. Never ever to die again. He is my life, my only source of life, my continual life, and my eternal life through the resurrection power in which all the dreadful effects that we were speaking on Friday night, we were speaking of the cross in sin. And the dreadful effects of sin are death. And now we find that Jesus conquers death forever and ever for his people through his resurrection power. Condemned by sin, we're brought into a solemn awareness of death, the sentence of death, and that eternal death that is due unto us. But blessed Jesus in his resurrection power has broke the bands of death. Isaiah 25 verse 8 speaks of it. And death, then shall he swallow up death. A precious chapter that Isaiah 25. And the 8th verse speaks. Isaiah prophesies Jesus Christ will come, that he will certainly die. But he will rise up and conquer all the dreadful effects of death. Beloved friends, have we been tried by the theme of death? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And being troubled even more that there's not just a grave, but that there's an eternal death.
That's what we want to bring away from. That's what the devil will also always hide our eyes from. Miss you in this world. Give you all manner of pleasures and all manner of ease and security. Just don't think about death. And certainly don't think about eternal death. The just due reward of sin, of carelessness, of wickedness. And oh, that our thoughts may never be turned to the remedy of death, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He is that resurrection power. Knowest thou not that I am the resurrection and the life? We know that thou, Lord, there shall be eternal life. We know that, Martha says. No, I am the eternal life of my people. I breathe life, spiritual life into my people. I bring them out of the state of death into holiness, a desire for holiness, a hatred of sin, a hatred of their own self, a hatred of that former Lord they had, Satan himself, of all their lusts that they've been occupied. He is that spiritual source of life. I am the bread of life, he says in John 10, I think it is, or John 6. John 6, he says, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. He that eateth of me and drinketh of me shall never taste of death. He that eateth my body and drinketh my blood. You see how the theme is going back again to the cross, to a dying Savior, to the broken body of Jesus Christ. The mutilated body of Jesus Christ, the shed blood, that holy and spotless blood of a dying Redeemer, the spiritual nourishment of a dying sinner, this precious cleansing of a filthy and defiled soul, pointing again to that dying of Jesus Christ, the wonders of the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died that his people would not have to die in eternal death. Jesus died and suffered that he might endure their sufferings. And Jesus died that we might have life. And except that Jesus, beloved friends, dies for us, we will never have eternal life. Every sermon, every discourse would center on the beloved Son of God who has reconciled the world to himself and overcome all their enemies and overcome all their difficulties. And when we speak of death, destroy death, conquer death, remove that curse due to death and due to sin. How the Lord's people, troubled in their hearts, convicted by the truth of death, love an eternal living Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he liveth forever to make intercession for them. Oh, how they do need this interceding Savior. And how they do need this life breathed in their souls. There's nothing but death in them. There's a beautiful word in Galatians 2:20. And notice again, the cross and the resurrection. The death of Christ, his dying body, his bleeding body, and that sepulcher. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. We know that it means as much that the path of the child of God after justification is through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But I cannot help but see and mention, beloved friends, of the correlation between that blessed theme that we tried to speak a little on Thursday night. Each time we speak of a Christian experience, it flows through that blessed cross. Each time we receive peace, a melting of the soul, the wonder and amazement of the blessings of God, it flows down through the beloved Savior lifted on high. Each time, dear friends, there is some spiritual blessing, it's through a dying Savior. And again, when we speak of power and life, we speak of a dying Savior in whom God, it was impossible for him to taste of death. Therefore God raised him up out of that grave that he might be the first fruits of the child of God. I live. I live because Jesus lived before me. I can turn mine eye from sin and from evil ways because of the life breathed in my soul, and that's it. That's my only hope. That's my only life. That's my only consolation. Jesus Christ dying and then living. Who shall roll us away the stone? Or the angel shall? There's none that can prevent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he is the life of the dead soul. Dead in trespasses and sin, dead in affections, dead in ability, dead in everything they are in themselves, Jesus breathes life into his people. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? What a question to us. Again, as we would be questioned, can we find any hope in self? We are nothing more than a sepulcher. The place of death. You speak so often, the scriptures are so clear of what man is. What man's thoughts are. Man's learning. Man's affections. Man's ability. Man's religion. We can never find life in ourselves. We'll never find life in the law. It's a holy law. It's a good law. It's a just law. It's a perfect guide to mankind, and we'll never find our spiritual peace and prosperity in it. Have we tried, beloved friends, in that sense, to live a good life, a holy life? Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a demand. That's a command of God to us. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy in all manner of walk of life. Marriage. Read some of Berridge's hymns. He'll tell you how man can do that. Utterly impossible. Why seek you living among the dead? The world. A beautiful place. An amusing place. It shows forth, dear friends, so many ways the wisdom of God. It's dead. It's a perishing place. It shall all be burned up. Oh, unconverted in our midst today, why do you seek for life amongst that which is dead? Everything, beloved friends, that is lower than Jesus Christ will not and cannot give life. Do we rejoice? Child of God, do we rejoice in the resurrection morn? Have we found life for our soul? The conquering of death. The comforter in distress. And the dispeller of so much darkness and gloom. Has he spoken to us? He is the source of our eternal joy and comfort and eternal life. How wise we are, though we may be filled with so much confusion, yet so much misunderstanding, so much darkness, and so many other things. To live a life in, through, and of Jesus Christ alone is where we need to be.
a sepulcher. That sepulcher is filled with the sins of the Lord's people. When the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in that grave, He carried with Him every single sin of His people. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He left that sin behind. They rejoice in the resurrection power of Jesus, for having the truth of that applied to our souls shows us that we are sinless and holy and spotless through Jesus' resurrection power. We shall live and live forever through what has been done by blessed Jesus Christ. You see how we cannot separate them. The precious resurrection morn of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a perfect picture of it. It's an emblem of the poor soul buried with Jesus Christ in the grave. Jesus, who's immersed in the sins of His people and the sufferings for His people, buried in the grave in the earth and leaving all of their sins behind, rising up as that precious Savior and cleanser of His people. There's nothing else can touch the emblem of what it is to be a child of God. The spiritual truths of baptism, of being buried under the waters. And then rising up out of those waters, that new creation of eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And that to have that life maintained and that power maintained and given unto them through Jesus and Jesus alone. I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? We will find, dear friends, over and over and over again as we sink into sin, we tie again that blessed cross. Are we speaking of on Friday night of that Day of Atonement, suffering without the camp on Calvary? That it is there as that lamb that was slain and burned outside the camp, that He offered up Himself to maintain the life and power of His people's confession. Jesus crucified, Jesus alive forever. If we think that we can maintain our life outside of Him, may the Lord work deeper. May the Lord cut off more. And may the Lord begin to show us what He's trying to teach His people. Let me reword that. What He does teach His people. What His people so little understood time after time. Without Me, you can do nothing. Engrafted into Jesus Christ, my Savior. Paul said it to the Philippians. Through Him who strengtheneth me, I can do all things. He knew how to rejoice in sorrow. He knew how to be holy and godly in prosperity. He knew how to be consistent in the walk of Christianity through the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. When we speak of the resurrection morn, do we speak of it in the same desire as Paul to the Philippians? Poor, defenseless, needy,
Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, Philippians 3:10. We long with the Apostle Paul to be in such a place. Lord, maintain the path of my life. Romans 6 is so clear of the child of God and his responsibility. And I say that very carefully. His responsibility to walk in newness of life. According to that power that is working within him. The power of Jesus Christ, his Savior. But it is Jesus and Jesus alone who will enable him by power and by life to walk a Christian pathway. The hymn writer says that nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Why seek ye living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And he shall join you and show himself unto you in Galilee, as he said before. Oh, dear friends, again, it comes to a living religion. It comes, what we say, of free and sovereign but irresistible grace. By the power of Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Because I live, ye shall live also. But we do feel times in such a solemn place of darkness, such a spirit of death within us. So often the lamentable cry is, can Christ dwell here? That's a solemn pathway for one who has put on a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Tasted something of the goodness of Jesus Christ and the blessings of Jesus Christ, is melted in the soul by the love of Jesus Christ. And then through the weakness of our own ability, lack of strength, and carefulness, or whatever it may be, the temptations of Satan, to be plunged in exceeding great darkness. Oh, how we do need that power from on high, to lift us out of a dark place, the authority of Jesus Christ to speak again peace to our soul and declare we indeed are a child of God. Like the angel said to the women, go and tell the disciples and Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ is risen again. You see that life and power in Jesus applied to his children in places of darkness. In deep trials in life in which they can only condemn themselves. And by their foolishness and wretched heart who has deceived them. Satan's temptations have slain them. They do not have scarce a hope nor a glimmer of light in the soul. Yet then they turn to Jesus in humbleness, in meekness. Lord, have mercy. In the Lord alone have I righteousness and strength. I will trust in none other. That's what the psalmist said. And they don't learn that, dear friends, in highways and prosperous ways and successful ways. They learn it in a low way. They learn it in death. Can they die then? Never. That soul that has once tasted of that power and life in Jesus Christ shall never perish. He that believeth, that's at life. He that believeth in me shall never perish, but have everlasting life given unto him. Friends, do we have that resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our souls? Here's a good question. Were we like the women who got up very early in the morning to seek Jesus? Oh, that I might know him. Do we have spiritual distress? Do we have spiritual sorrow? Do we have spiritual need? And I might, not that I might find favor, disciple, but that I might find favor in Jesus Christ, and that I might taste of his power, for he is the Almighty God. I keep thinking back to that visitor that Jehovah witnessed, that poor man that does not believe in the almighty power, the divinity of this blessed man, Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection. For he is very God of gods, Lord of lords, and King of kings, and Jehovah Jesus. The Lord, our righteousness. And to know him, and the power of his resurrection, to make me conformable unto the image of his sufferings, is all my soul craves for. To be cheered and comforted with a ray of light from blessed Jesus. To taste of that broken bread that came down from heaven to give eternal life unto them that ask it of him. What is the resurrection more to us? And what is him who is resurrection itself to us? Wherefore seek ye the living among the dead? Are we seeking, friends? Are we seeking this resurrection power of Christ? And communion in him? And forgiveness of sins through him? And the cleansing by him? And the life through him? Are we still seeking, like the angel inquires, in a false place for life? And hope and comfort and joy? Oh, that the Lord would quicken our spirits. I think of that word, I think it's in John 6 again where it says, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth, not the flesh. If we're seeking to find salvation, dear friends, in our own strength, we'll never find it. In our own power, we'll never find it. We need him who is life itself and the only true life. And the way in which he brought life is death. And then his victory over death is eternal life. There and there alone will we find joy and consolation in this earth, and there we shall find be the source of our eternal life and eternal peace. Do you know this resurrection power? We may go home this day, this precious day, which we would only refer to it in no other name than the resurrection morning. No other name than the resurrection morning of the dead soul. Is he our life? Child of God in our midst this afternoon, is he the power in our soul, in our mind, in our affections, to crucify sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He is my resurrection power. When we know something of Calvary, those three words dropped into my mind this morning, meditating on this. Groaning, gasping, dying. Groaning, gasping, dying. The consequences of sin and the weight
that was endured by none other than Prince Jesus. He conquered, beloved friends, everything that stands between us and hell. Groaning, gasping, and dying. And then to break away. Then, like we were saying in Isaiah 28:5, and he shall swallow up death. Then shall be brought to fulfillment that saying, death is swallowed up in victory. The grave has lost its power. Jesus Christ has overcome. Is he the overcomer, beloved friends, in your soul and in mine? The resurrection power. God forbid, the Apostle Paul says there in Romans 6, that we should continue in sin. Know ye not that ye who are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? And like he was raised in newness of life, even so should we be raised in newness of spirit in him? It's not that the child of God will not have struggles. He'll have struggle after struggle and failure after failure. But is the desire that Jesus Christ's power and life may be breathed into the soul? Do we fear? I tell you how it is in my life. I've got enemies everywhere. But the greatest enemy that I have is here. That's the one I fear the greatest. Is myself. I'm my own worst enemy. And we love the resurrection power of the Son of God. Almighty in power and glorious in victory, overcoming all obstacles in the way, including myself. A death to Satan. A death to the love of the world. A death to the death itself. And a death of self. That's that resurrection power in Jesus Christ. And it is the reason which we shall give all the glory, the praise, the honor to him forever and ever. That word has entered. Why are you seeking life in the places where it's impossible to find? Seek ye first that righteousness of God, that kingdom of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and his glorious resurrection power. And you shall have it all. May the Lord bless us this day, dear friends. When we speak of the rising of Jesus Christ from the dead, that it may be known in ourselves that he is the eternal and ever-living God, the Son of God. The eternal and ever-living Savior of my soul. The eternal and daily power whereby I maintained in my pathway. The power in all my religious affections. And the power against the strivings of sin that Satan is continually attempting to inject into my thoughts and in my mind. And like the hymn writer says, and we have to echo with him daily, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Jesus Christ must be the way. And so we pray this day when we may celebrate, we may worship God in the truth of a resurrection. Paul said it himself, if there be no resurrection of the dead, like those poor Sadducees believed, then we, poor child of God, are of all men the most miserable. If only in this life I have a source of joy and comfort in Jesus Christ, we, a child of God, is of all men most miserable. And you know why? Because they are certain to receive, according to the promises of God, troubles and afflictions every day of their life. But Jesus has promised to overcome them. But if all we could enjoy is this time state, this short time on earth, of communion in Jesus and life in Jesus, what poor men we are. But we have a far greater hope. An eternal hope of joy in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because dear Jesus shall make us incorruptible who are full of corruption. And dear Jesus shall make his people immortal. and death shall be taken away from them forever. And blessed Jesus shall give a crown of glory and a precious robe of righteousness, the fine linen of the saints, unto everyone who has tasted the power of his resurrection. And the Almighty Father and his glorious Son, Jesus Christ, shall dwell together in perfect harmony and joy and delight with these people who have tasted the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and have been conformed into the likeness of his sufferings and death. So the question to us, beloved friends, as we end is, shall we be found amongst that favored few? Shall we be blessed with that resurrection power? And the prayer and desire today is, if the Lord hasn't begun, that the Lord will begin today. With that cry of the Apostle Paul, the deep necessity, the urgent longing to be made known, to be made aware of it and to know it. Oh, that I might know the power of his resurrection and so find life and so find the ability to overcome sin, to overcome ourselves, to conquer death and hell through him and him alone, who loved his people, washed his people, redeemed his people, and resurrected that they might follow in that same resurrection power with him. Amen. Sing from hymn number 492. Ye Christians, hear the joyful news. Death has received a deadly bruise. Our Lord has made his empire fall and conquered him that conquered all. 492. Thank you.
forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss and are gathered together this afternoon. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Close to singing hymn 500. Mm-hmm.